from State Street and the First Midwest Bank Studio. This is WMVP Chicago, ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports. Cap. This is Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at the Capman on Twitter.
Cap is off one more day. He'll be back on Monday. My name is Jesse Rogers, alongside the executive producer of the Cap and Company show, the one and only Danny Zetterman. We are here till noon, Danny. College football front and center. The Big Ten going localized, regional, conference games only. We'll discuss. Eduardo Perez coming up at 9:30 to talk some baseball as well. And speaking of baseball, Danny, I was at Wrigley Field last night. Darvish versus Hendricks, again with the crowd noise being piped in, the cheers. No booze yet. It'd be interesting if they do that on a bad umpire call. We can discuss. But no Rizzo, little back problem. Darvish, little fingernail problem. I'm sure the Twitterverse, you know, kind of held their collective breath, but it turned out he was okay. He pitched three innings. I think Hendricks went four. So the Cubs are moving forward. No positive tests for them, but still very strange to be in the building empty, Danny, empty, watching intra-squad games.
Let me ask you a question. You brought up Yu Darvish in the finger. Yu Darvish has dealt with blisters on his right pitching hand in the past. I'm sure when that went down yesterday, you, the media, the people that were in the building, kind of freaked out a little bit. You said he went on to pitch three innings. Do you think Darvish was supposed to go more had he not had that little fingernail issue?
I think that was originally what he was. I think originally. I didn't get a chance to talk to Ross afterwards, so you just never know. They make adjustments, whatever. But he did finish the inning. He had the fingernail problem and pitched the next inning. The fingernail thing was in the second. He came out and pitched the third. So afterwards, the PR spokesman said that it was resolved. So it's something to follow up on with Ross today for sure. Yu Darvish, man, I mean, he is going to be one of those guys, as we look back at in Cubs history years from now, and just be like, did he reach his potential? I mean, he's just a lightning rod of conversation, right? Right now, there's still so much potential in that right arm, so many things he can do for the to the baseball, but he needs to do it in games consistently and become that ace that he's being paid like and lead the Cubs moving forward. Obviously, Hendricks can be an ace as well, but he can't do with the ball that Darvish can. And so it's up to Darvish to be that guy moving forward for the rest of his contract. I don't know. I still have my doubts. A great personality. He's turning into a great interview. And again, can throw all those pitches, but you've got to put it all together to be great. It's not, you can't just do it a little bit here and there. You got to do it consistently. And we haven't seen it enough.
As a Cub fan, I choose to look at Yu Darvish with the glass half full. He had a slow start. I'm going to give him a pass on that. Whatever happened before he got to the Cubs in his early tenure here with the team, I'm going to let him forget about that. I think from this point moving forward, I'm hopeful he could be the Yu Darvish that Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer signed for that big contract. The only problem is he's got a tendency to get injured. And then yesterday when you read on Twitter, I'm not there like you. I read on Twitter, Darvish's got a finger thing. Immediately the wind gets taken out of my sales. You know, on the health side of it, the Cubs have been very lucky. They're the only team in baseball that hasn't had a guy come out and test positive for COVID-19. That's a great thing. On the negative side, you've got Yu Darvish with the finger thing, and this is just a little blip. He'll be fine. But Anthony Rizzo's back. As a Cub fan, this is a huge concern for me, Jesse, because Anthony Rizzo lost 25 pounds in the offseason. Anthony Rizzo has missed his third straight day with lower back stiffness. He hasn't been traveling on planes. He hasn't been sleeping in hotel beds. He's 25 pounds lighter. He's 31 years old. The last I checked, backs don't get better as you age. So for me as a Cub fan, there have been a couple things to take the wind out of my sails when I think about baseball going forward.
312-332-3776 if you want to jump in. Again, 312-332-3776. I can't be as worried about you or Sylvie regarding Rizzo. I mean, the history tells us that it recovers from these pretty quickly. Now, I agree with you. As he ages, that history might change. Like, that routine, that process might change. But until it does, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. What I worry more about him is being out of the lineup and not finding his timing, as this is a shortened spring training after three and a half months off. So If he starts the season slow like he normally does in April, then I'm going to look back at these days and say these could have been, you know, big days missed for him. He was there yesterday, just not in the batter's box. In fact, he was in the bleachers, I believe. He was
picture went, oh, look at Anthony Rizzo. He's a fan. He's sitting in the stands. Let me argue with you for a second, Jess. And you knew and I were going to argue today when
from another mother. Go ahead.
When the powers that be decided we were going to do this together, you knew there was going to be some arguing. Going back to Rizzo, every year he deals with this. We know that. That's his track history. But the problem is every year he deals with this after flying long flights on planes or sleeping in hotel beds or the rigors of a season. Nothing's happened yet for Anthony Rizzo. In all honesty, he should be as healthy as he's ever been. Down 25 pounds, working out with his own trainer, sleeping in his own bed. There should be no reason for the back to be acting up now. Now, if this was August and they're playing the 60-game schedule where there's games almost every single day and no off days, had this happened, we'd be like, okay, this happens every year for Anthony Rizzo. No concern. The problem for me as a Cub fan, and I'm sure that's why Sylvie feels the same way, is nothing's happened to make this back issue flare up.
All right, let me respond to that, and we could have Chris Bleck fire up the Google machine because I probably wrote a story about it in spring training over the last 6-7 years.
Jesse, are you telling me to Google you? Is that what you're asking me to do?
Yes, exactly. He has had, or Rizzo, because maybe I didn't write it, but someone else did, he has had a back tightness in spring training before a marathon season has begun, before plane flights, before cold weather. So this pops up randomly, I feel like. Sometimes later in the season, sometimes after a bad road, sleeping in Cincinnati at the hotel, but sometimes in spring training as well, Danny. He deserves the benefit of the doubt because he has dealt with this, I'd say, at least a half a dozen times, and it's never affected him longer than a week at most. And so let's see where he's at. Maybe people listening, 312-332-3776, can tell us. I don't know if necessarily losing weight automatically eliminates any lower back tightness that you have. I don't know if that's a correlation. I get you're in better shape. You should technically maybe loosen up quick. I don't know. I'm not an expert. Maybe you are. You're Mr. Health. You know everything. But let's maybe someone chime in. If just because you lose weight, does that eliminate a situation where you chronically have some lower back tightness? And when I say chronically, it's like once a year. Give the guy a break, Danny.
Let me ask you a question, though, Jess. Do you think that on July 24th, when baseball begins, Anthony Rizzo is going to be full go, ready to go, and he's going to start the season? Or are we going to see Victor Caratini for this 60-game sprint?
I believe more in Anthony Rizzo than I do in the game of baseball at this point because of the way things are going in this country. Although I said yesterday, I feel like I change my mind every day like you do, I'm sure. I feel like baseball is finding its groove a little bit here. It's finding its routines and all that, although there was a story in the Washington Post today about, every team is different. The Nationals seem to be in a bad spot. They have a bunch of players needing to quarantine because they came from the Dominican Republic. You should pull up that story. They weren't tested before they got on their chartered flight, and a couple of them tested positive. So some teams are more of a mess than others. The Cubs are not. They're good. White Sox have a couple guys out of the mix, but in general, they're okay. In any case, I think baseball is going to be okay. It's the game itself, the routines, the process, the testing. But the rest of the country is kind of a mess, and we'll see if baseball can play. I think baseball plays unless they're starting to take resources away from regular people, so to speak. So we'll see. But I don't know. I have more faith in Rizzo than I think you and Sylvie do, just talking to him yesterday. He has gotten through this in fine fashion in the past. It's not like even when he comes back from it, he goes into long slumps, as I could recall. You know what I mean? It's just something that happens, then he comes back and he plays baseball, and it usually doesn't affect him again.
His track record does show this happens every year, and it does show that he gets past it. I guess for me, the biggest thing was there was nothing to cause this flare-up except for the start of practicing at Wrigley Field, and that's why it was a concern to me. But I'm going to go along with what you say. Let's jump out to Rich in Oak Park. He has a question about the Cubs for us, Jess. Rich, what's up, my man?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Jesse, I wanted to ask you real quick. Have you heard any speculation or guidelines or any kind of timeline from the Cubs on whether or not they're going to be able to sell tickets to fans at any capacity, like that limited capacity? They speculated about maybe 8,000 fans. Has there been any timeline or any guideline or anything on that?
Thanks. Nothing new. Nothing new since they announced that. The only thing that's new is the rooftops, and they are Now, they own 11 rooftops, so and they are figuring out how to disperse those tickets. If you're a bunker suite holder, you've got a good chance of getting a ticket. I think they're going to work their way down in terms of making those available to the highest rollers, so to speak. But I have not heard anything as far as Wrigley Field is concerned. I think the city still has to be involved in that. It doesn't sound like it's going to be day one, but maybe we should get an update on that because I haven't heard. But rooftops are first and foremost and certainly are going to be a hot ticket. I wrote a story about it the other day. Danny, you going to go watch a game on the rooftop? You got $350 a pop?
No shot. Chris and I talked about this a lot yesterday. I think paying $350 to see the backside of a Jumbotron is absolutely ridiculous. I love a rooftop experience, but that's when I paid $110 to go up there for all the food and drink I could handle. Not only do I not want to spend $350 to see the backside of a Jumbotron, I don't want to spend $350 to be with other strangers. I know it's only going to be 25% capacity, but if I go with one, two, three other guys, I'm still sitting there with other strangers. And it just doesn't seem something appealing to me at this point. Now, I might have to do it since the Marquee Network and Comcast have yet to reach an agreement, and I don't know how I'm going to watch my Cubs, but for me, that's not something I would do. Would you ever do that, Jess, as a fan? Now, I know you cover the team every day. You're right. Going to be in the games. But back in the day when you were a fan, could you see yourself dropping $350 to sit on a rooftop?
That's one of those things where if you don't have a big concern for the $350, you know what I mean? If you have it to spend, I would do it. Absolutely, I would do it for the sort of iconic nature of it, right? I mean, you're going to be the only fans that can watch the game in person, at least to start the season. Cameras are going to, you know, go over there every single big play. They're going to go pan the rooftops, and you're going to be up there. Yeah, absolutely, I would drop it. Again, if I had it to spend, it's just one of those deals. It's absolutely not essential that I do it, as we talk about essential, non-essential in this world, right? But I would do it if I could. Now, I think I'm going to be up there anyway for opening night. The game's on ESPN along with the Marquee Network. I think ESPN will be blacked down in Chicago. So I think I'll be up there. You know, I think Alex Rodriguez and Buster and those guys are doing game one. I'm not positive. And they're going to go to me up on the rooftop because that's a like an easy TV shot. So I think I'll get a chance to see game one, at least part of it, up there and just the feel of it. And I mean, this is a dumb question. Will the players be able to hear the fans cheering from there? I think so, right? They'll be able to
yeah.
hear.
I think it's, they it, will.
Yeah, it's 50 people per rooftop allowed up there. Usually it's 200, so you're allowed 50 people, 25%. And so how many rooftops are there? There's 11 owned by the Cubs. There's, what, 15 or 16 total or something like that? So that's how many people will be allowed, at least outside of Wrigley, watching the game.
They'll definitely be able to hear the crowd chant. They'll hear the hobbies. They'll hear the cheers and the boos. I think that will add to the home field advantage for the Cubs, which will be a great thing because we know last year the Cubs were one of the second best team in the league when it came to home field advantage. This is a question for you that might be a little inside TV, but I'm wondering, when you do your live shot on Sunday Night Baseball, when they throw it to you up on the rooftop, will you have to wear a mask?
So this is interesting because just yesterday in the mail, Bristol overnighted me a kit, included a temperature check thing. I haven't even opened it really, so I've got it right here. Let's open it
yeah. on the air later.
We can do that. So they sent a kit with three masks, a temperature check, a couple other things in their hand sanitizer. Here's what they've said, and I did this on SportsCenter last week up on a rooftop on day, you know, opening of camp. They want you having the mask on when you're not live on the air. You can pull the mask down when you go live. So I have one of those neck masks right now where it just goes up and down. It doesn't go around my ears. You know what
I'm
talking
about? You look like a bank robber.
Right. So on SportsCenter, I just pulled it down, did my report. So it was around my neck, and then I pulled it back up. So I think they want the appearance that you're following the guidelines, which I will anyway. And of course, on the rooftops, you have to follow. There'll be a temperature check when you go in for fans and social distancing, masks on other than when you're eating or drinking. So that's a little ambiguous. You know, you can keep it down for a few minutes if you have a hot dog in your hand. So anyway, yes, I will have the mask around my neck. I don't have to have it up above my mouth, you know, over my mouth.
Javi Baez met the media yesterday. He talked about his future. Up next, I'm going to ask Jesse if we're seeing the 2016 Cubs farewell tour, plus your calls, 312-332-3.
Plus my temperature.
Plus Jesse's temperature, 312-332-3776. It's Cap and Company.
Sports talk while you're on the clock.
Cap and Company.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
It's Cap and Company on ESPN 1000. This is Danny Zetterman. I'm with Jesse Rogers, filling in for the Cap Man. Jess, we have fired up the phone lines. People like me, like Sylvie, are concerned about Anthony Rizzo's back. Let's get out to Paul in Tinley Park. Paul, what's up, buddy?
Hello?
Paul, you're on, man.
Hey, yeah. Regarding Rizzo's back, general population, yes, if you got back pain, doctors will certainly suggest that you drop your weight to help manage that pain. But when you're talking about elite-level athletes, professional athletes, you start to wonder if that's more reflective on the wear and tear. So if you certainly look at years of batting practice that Rizzo takes, you look at his swing, that's a lot of torque on that back. So when you start to, start to get that back stiffened up, it's basically your muscles trying to protect the body from doing further damage. So yeah, that is for me, if I'm working with a client and that's an issue, that definitely kind of raises some red flags, certainly some concern. So you definitely want to look at strengthening the core to protect that area. But yeah, he's not necessarily a really young guy. So that would definitely be a concern for me.
Well, thanks, then, Paul. You would have been concerned last year and the year before and the year before that. I mean, the history of this thing has to matter. Now, history can change, right? History can't change, but things can change as a guy gets older. But I just feel like until it changes, you can't really say that you're overly worried. It's been like this for 4, 5, 6 years where he's had this once a year and recovered and had great years. By the way, it's a good time to plug. Theo Epstein will be on this radio station at 2:30 today with Waddle and Sylvie. Really good question to ask him. I mean, and hopefully he can be honest about, like, how much more concerned are you this time around than last time around? And how much more concerned will you be as he ages? And does the weight loss matter? Does it help him recover? Whatever the case may be, good questions for Theo at 2:30 today.
Jess, Rizzo's deal, a lot of the Cubs' deals are up at the end of 2021. And we're going to talk about a little bit later whether or not this is the farewell tour for guys like Baez and Chris Bryant and Rizzo and Schwarber, John Lester. But do you think this back issue will factor in when Theo and Jed sit down and chart out their future plans for Anthony Rizzo?
I don't think so, unless this... this is the year, right? I mean, they have to talk to him after this year. And if this year the back flares up to the point where he isn't playing well or out of the lineup, then it makes a difference. But if this goes the same way previous ones have gone, I don't think it factors in that much. I really don't. He has proven again and again and again that this is not a major chronic problem. It's just a yearly issue. But not necessarily something that's debilitating for him. So maybe I'm being naive, but unless this one is much, much worse than previous ones, I don't think it's a if I was running the team, I wouldn't look at it as some major, major factor, especially if this year goes the way previous years have gone.
You know why I'm more concerned this year than I've been in previous years? Because there's only 60 games. Like, we can't afford to not have Anthony Rizzo on this team for a majority of those 60 games if the Cubs have a shot of winning the quote-unquote World Series this year. Let's get back out to the phones. You can join the conversation. 312-332-3776. Jake, in Yorkville, you're on deck. What's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
Great.
All right, the question I just got to bring up to you guys, that video that went around probably a month or so ago of Rizzo training, deadlifting, squatting, hitting the tire with the hammer, and that's all your back. Where's the back issue then?
Well, it's tightness, not necessarily like soreness or whatever you want. There's different, Like, I don't think he injured it. It just sometimes, and it's been the same injury, sometimes he has trouble getting it loose. So I feel like that's different than injuring it while working out.
Okay. I was just wondering because it doesn't make sense. If you got the back issue, to me, you shouldn't be deadlifting what he was deadlifting and keeps working on it. Then it was just one of those things. I saw the video and I was like, if you have the back issue, it might not be the best to be doing all that.
It's not a bad question for him. How have you changed or will you change your workout routine to keep that back safe? I mean, I think he already has. I mean, he and the training staff certainly talk about this thing yearly. And, we have to say, Danny, I think the larger point is if he gets off to a slow start, or you know what I mean, like if it affects his I don't think he's going to be out of the lineup, but if he's missing enough time during camp, well, this timing might be off. And he already starts slow in April. Now maybe that's the cold weather. I don't know, but you just don't want him to start slow here in late July because he's missing time.
I think that's also one of the most interesting storylines of this year is guys that normally start slow because of the cold weather. Are they still going to start slow, and are we going to lose that excuse of, well, Rizzo starts slow because of the cold weather, or Javi's a better player when it's hot? Well, now it's going to be hot from day one.
Yeah, I think of Jorge Soler. If he was a Cub still, he'd probably get off to a great start, because remember, he was awful, like under 50 degrees.
Wasn't Soriano that way also? Soriano heated up when the weather got warm?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a great question as well, because does the April-ness of it carry over to July, or was it strictly a weather thing? And I don't even think Hendricks and Rizzo know. I mean, I mentioned Hendricks because he also was a poor April pitcher. And pitchers, usually, you think anecdotally, they are better in the colder weather because hitters are worse. But some pitchers just can't get loose in the cold weather, so it can affect them in a negative way as well. And I've asked both Rizzo and Hendricks. Those are the two names that come to mind. Bad April, bad starts to their season is kind of a tradition for them. And they don't know if it's the weather or just the fact that they haven't gotten into the season enough. I think both have told me they think it's mostly not getting into the season. You know what I mean? It's not just the weather. It's just the fact that it's early and they haven't found their groove yet. So we'll find out, I guess.
Let's jump back out to the phones. Kevin in Naperville, you're up, my friend. What's up, Kev?
Hey, guys. I love Jesse when you're hosting, because I know I'm getting a whole lot of baseball, so I'm loving the show so far. My question is about the Wrigleyville experience. You know, obviously, the fans aren't going to be allowed in the stands, but, you know, you've got the park outside, you've got the streets, you've got all the bars. Is that all going to be, like, kind of cordoned off where people can't just go down and hang? Obviously, I'm sure the bars will probably be at a lower capacity if they're going to be open at all right around the loop. Do you know what that's going to look like?
Yeah, you know, I've mentioned this a couple times on the air now that I've been to Wrigley Field. Now, here's the weird part, Danny. I've probably never been to Wrigley Field other than for a press conference when there isn't a game going on. And I used to live around that area, but not anymore. So here's my point. It is dead. It is dead. I am surprised even now just for practice how dead it is. I figured there'd be more ball hawks. There's like a half a dozen. I figured Murphy's would be more busy. There's like a half a dozen people on the patio there. It's just dead. Now, obviously, it'll pick up with games. And the Cubs are worried that there'd be too many people congregating. But even autograph hounds, I thought, would be congregating a little bit, trying to get something, even though they can't. But, you know, players aren't going to sign autographs. Now, I just assume there'd be more activity. If there's Cub players in the vicinity, usually Cub fans are there as well. But I guess to their credit, they're not hovering. They're not trying to get to players. And so, like I said, I give them credit. So let's extrapolate that to games. It'll be more activity, but I'm guessing not as much as we might think, right? I don't think people are going to be milling around the streets, and Gallagher Way's not going to be open. So I'm going to say it'll be busier than it is now, but not the amount of people that I thought there'd be. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Are there people in the bars? I know you said a handful at Murphy's, but like when you walk the neighborhood, and I don't know how much you walk it, do you notice action in the restaurants and other bars? Are these places still closed up because there's just no business?
Most of them are open. I haven't walked around everything, but most of them are open and most of them are kind of dead. Now, could it be this last week, meaning the first week of summer camp? It's been really hot. And nobody really wants to mill around inside, right? So do you want to sit on the patio when it's 90 degrees? So I wonder if the weather has kept people away, or just the virus and the guidelines. Like, hey, if you don't need to go out, don't go out. I don't know. But I assume there'd be more activity. I took the train a couple days, you know, the L, and it was dead on the train. And they're running less trains. So I think people are working at home more, staying away. If there's no reason to, you know, go out, then you don't go out. And if it's 90 degrees, you don't want to sit on the patio. Actually, I would love to hear from people that live in Wrigleyville. 312-332-3776. What do you see? Are you seeing the same thing I see? I'm there for a few hours every day for 1 week so far. And with this weather, maybe it's keeping people away. But I was surprised. I just thought there'd be more ball hawks and, maybe not autograph seekers, because they kind of they should know that you're not going to get an autograph right now. But I just assume there'd be more activity. Where there's Cubs, there's usually more activity. And I give credit to the fans for staying away, because that's what they've been asked to do.
I'd also like to hear from people who usually spend their summer in Wrigleyville around the team, whether they go to the games or they just go to the bars to hang out, if they're still planning on doing that this summer. Like, if their summer Saturdays, Sundays, Friday nights will still consist of going to Wrigleyville and supporting the team, or forget it, we'll jump back on in 2021. Let's go back out to the phones. Fat Mike in Worth, our guy. What's up, Mike?
What's up, guys? Happy Friday. How are you doing?
Happy Friday, great. Mike.
Hey, got a quick question for you guys. You know how they got the big screen outside of the park as well. Is the plan for that to be going on with the game live as the game is going live, or no?
At this point, highly doubtful. I guess that could change if there's some way to initiate social distancing there. But here's the point: they as far as I know, last I heard, they are not doing anything to encourage crowds milling around, even if it's outdoors. Now, again, things could change. Maybe Chicago lightens up its guidelines, but they don't want, and this was their big concern going back a month when they were talking, you know, starting to talk about these things internally with the Cubs, just the amount of people that could be milling around. So I do not think, is it possible they put the game up there, but they close Gallagher Way? You know, if you're driving down Clark, the game's up there. I guess that's possible, but I don't think they're going to do anything to encourage people milling around.
All right, up next, we're going to talk to Eduardo Perez. We're going to go not just around the Cubs and the Sox diamond. We're going to go around all of baseball. This is Cap and Company, ESPN 1000.
Did you miss some Cap and Company? Your podcast is ready. Chicago's home for sports is on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
This is Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
Cap is back on Monday. Jesse Rogers, Danny Zetterman sitting in. We have a lot of tweets to get to. At D Zetterman, DZEDERMAN, and at Jesse Rogers, ESPN. Tweet us. If you have a question for our next guest, you can send us a tweet as well. He's one of the best in the business. You can watch him on the KBO broadcast. I don't know if he's doing the overnight game tonight, because I'll be on the broadcast at about 6:30 tomorrow morning, but I've been on with him before, and of course you can watch him once we start this season. He'll be doing some games in the booth. I don't know from where, though. It's Eduardo Perez here on ESPN 1000. Eduardo, how you doing this morning? What's up?
Oh, what's going on, fellas? Hey, Jesse. No, I will not be on tomorrow morning or early tonight on air. Only do Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday so far, 10 weeks into the KBO, but really excited to get Major League Baseball and the players back together, and hopefully we'll be able to have a start of the season starting on the 23rd.
Yeah, that's the hope. I do feel like baseball's finding its rhythm here with the testing. I know the July 4th weekend was kind of a mess. Are you feeling it a little bit better? Are you hearing it a little bit better just in the last few days? Or I know the Nationals have a little bit of a thing going on there. I mean, there's some pockets that have some issues, but I feel like it's getting a little bit better.
You know, four different time zones here in the United States. We can't compare if it's to Taiwan, Korea, or Japan when it comes to baseball-wise. This is the first time we're all dealing with this. And I think patience, the first 10 days, I think are going to be it's going to be a little rocky. But after a while, I think the players are going to find their rhythm. I still believe the Toronto Blue Jays have the biggest advantage of all, because they have a hotel within the stadium in the Marriott there at the Rogers Center, so they can keep everybody contained. But as far as testing, yes, it was frustrating. Frustrating for the Giants, frustrating for the Athletics, for the Cubs, for the Nats, for the Cardinals, and so many other teams. But that was the 4th of July weekend, so I'm hoping that we will be in better standing moving forward.
Eduardo, with this short season, with this 60-game season, who does this short season benefit more in our city of Chicago, the Cubs or the Sox?
I think it benefits the Sox a little bit more. And don't get me wrong, the Cubs are a veteran team, and you would think it would benefit them. But then again, I think when you have a young team like the White Sox that, quote-unquote, they don't know any better, and you can really get them hot quickly, and you don't know how sustainable that is in a 162-game season, you're like, oh, you know, sooner or later, the dog days are going to catch up to them. The season, the mental aspect, you always hear about the grind. Well, in 60 games, everybody calls it a sprint. I actually call it more like that 200-meter dash. You still have to turn the corner, and let's see what team can really turn that one corner well. And with a young organization like them, and then a pitching staff led by Dallas Keuchel, but the youth of the White Sox and the talent that they have, I don't put anything past them at all. And that's why I'm actually really high on the White Sox, higher than I am with than the Cubs.
That's a fascinating answer, and it's hard to argue with you, Eduardo. The other side of that coin, I'm sure you agree, is teams that have been there, done that before, might have some advantage because they understand what a short pennant season type of pennant race type of season will look like. Can do the whole turn it on, turn it off thing, and in this case, you have to turn it on the whole time. Like, experience has to matter a little bit in a unique year like this, right? Maybe not enough though to put the Cubs over the Sox in your estimation. I get it.
Yeah, but the thing is, experience. Everybody says, well, that 60 games left in the season, you're still in it with 2 months to play, 66 days total. I don't even think that the veterans with a 60-game season have that type of experience to be able to turn it on right away. And again, you see the veteran teams be able to be in there for the duration. Well, the duration is going to be short. And it's going to be interesting. Another thing I believe that the White Sox have in their advantage point is that the American League Central, to me, is a division that can be had compared to the National League Central, where you have such a competitive atmosphere with the Cardinals, with the Brewers, you stick in obviously the Cubs in there. So those three teams, the Pirates. I'm not going to put anything past the Pirates, but still, it's a division right now that there's so many things that can happen. But the American League Central, I believe it's a division that if you start off the gates hot, I don't know if there's a team that can catch you. It doesn't matter if it's the White Sox, it could be the Cleveland Indians, it could be the Minnesota Twins. But one of those teams, if they start out hot, I don't know if any other team has the ammunition to be able to come back in such a short period of time.
So before the season started and where we are right now, the Dodgers are the odds-on favorite to win the World Series. Earlier this week, David Price opted out. COVID-19 concerns, everybody understands. The Dodgers also have a list of players, I believe seven, who have yet to report, including Kenley Jansen. At this point, do you still like the Dodgers' chances of winning this thing?
They're deep. They are. The thing is with the Dodgers is that, yeah, you don't have David Price, but the reason David Price was thrown into the deal was to be able to get Mookie Betts for the year. I really do believe that. You put in Ross Stripling now as the number five starter. He'd be a middle-of-the-rotation guy, maybe in another organization. I thought he was already traded during the season, during the offseason. I thought he was an angel along with Jock Peterson. Then that got revoked. And then he still continued to be a Dodger. So that becomes a godsend for them. But the ability that they have to be so deep in every position, even in the pitching aspect of it, makes them the odds on favorite, especially in the National League West.
Well, we're talking outside of Chicago. I mean, and you know this team as much as anyone, and I don't want to do a disservice to the 70s Reds, but this Reds team could be the big Red Machine part two. I mean, they are stacked. Not only people realize what that lineup's going to look like with the DH. Moustakas joins them, right? Nick Castellanos, who had an incredible year last year, half of it with the Cubs. How do you, Perez, you know the Reds better than anybody. Your dad was part of that whole thing. How do you not like the Reds and what they've put together, especially that lineup with the DH?
I like the Reds. I do. I like them a lot. I don't know if you want to put them in the big Red Machine category. I don't want to go there. I really don't, Jesse. No, I love
no,
you.
No, yeah. I take it all back. That's going to look bad on me if someone writes a headline with Jesse Rogers thinks the 2020 Reds are the 75 Reds. No.
Yeah, let's or the 76 Reds that swept the Yankees in four. No doubt. I'm not still buying as much as the big Red Machine. Let's call them the little Red Machine right now.
Sure.
One thing that I really think is interesting is the way that, and I was very critical this morning on it, was Trevor Bauer saying, I want to pitch every fourth day, and everybody else around me has to make an adjustment. It just seemed like that. And all the quotes, there's a lot of I in there, and it just takes me back to the Bull Durham skit and on the bus when he was saying, there's just no I in team. Stop trying to say that. You have a rotation that's going to be led by Sonny Gray, who had a great year last year. Luis Castillo, probably one of the best changeups in the league. Trevor Bauer last year struggled. He had over a 6 ERA in those 10 starts that he had as a Cincinnati Red. And there's just, I think there's maybe there's a little animosity going on there that could be created. But you've had Raisel Iglesias, I think is going to have a standout season. This is as a closer. So I like it. But offensively, Nicholas Castellanos, he already said he doesn't want to DH. So that puts now a decision. What are you going to do on the DH spot? Are you going to rotate it with that talented outfield that they have? Or are you going to just play it along? Eugenio Suarez is a stud in left field. Everybody knows that. I think this is a really interesting team. And the clubhouse, the leader is going to be not Joey Votto, but Mike Moustakas, who I think has a great personality and could get those guys to gel in well.
Real quick, visiting with Eduardo Perez on ESPN 1000. Last thing, give us like in 30 seconds. You're a hitter. You had a 3.5 month off season or whatever it is. Now you had a second 3.5 month off season, and now you have 3 weeks to get ready. What's the most important thing here to try to do? I mean, it's got to be timing, right? Can you get it in these intra-squad games?
I think you can. A lot of people are debating, can you play with no fans in the stands? These guys have been doing it most of their career before they started playing baseball. I think the Marlins have been doing it for quite some time, along with the Tampa Bay Rays. A lot of social distancing with their fans because of the attendance. It can be done. But the players, yes, they will be able to the hitters will be able to come through. The pitching should have an advantage early on. We saw Casey Mize yesterday, the way he made his lineup look, especially the middle guys in the lineup. Miguel Cabrera included in that, but eventually the hitters will catch on.
Eduardo, we appreciate your time. You are the best. Thanks, and stay healthy.
All right, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. Jesse, love you.
You too, Eduardo. Take care.
Jesse, love you. Eduardo Perez joins us on the Corona Hotline. Up next, the Big Ten Conference announced yesterday that if it plays football, it will move to a conference-only schedule. We'll discuss whether they'll actually play next. This hour is brought to you by CBDMD. Discover the secret to everyday wellness. CBDMD, superior CBD, superior you. Get 20% off when you enter the code WADDLE.
It's Cap and Company. Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. and ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Jesse Rogers and Danny Zetterman sitting in on Cap and Company. Cap will be back on Monday, 312-332-3776. We'll give you a chance to react to what Eduardo Perez had to say, putting the White Sox chances ahead of the Cubs. That's one of the few experts we've had on that have said that, and his reasoning was pretty sound. I mean, I don't think it poked too many holes in it, but I think it's a good debate to have, Danny.
Jess, before we go on talking about what Eduardo said, and before we go on talking about college football, which what we teased, I need to pull back the curtain. We like to do that here on the Cap and Company show every now and again and have production meetings on the air.
Okay.
What the hell are you doing, Jess? Every break, our producers, Tyler and the great Chris Black, ask me, Jesse wants to know if you want to have this guest on. Jesse wants to know if you want to have this random guest on. Jesse wants to know if you'd like to talk to this random person. What are you pulling a cap, listening to anything I'm saying, or are you just booking guests like it's the old Mike Norris show?
I am contributing to the show is what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing, trying to elevate the show, especially without Cap here, because God knows it needs elevation without him here.
That's a shot right there.
That's a shot at you two.
Some would argue the Cap and Company show is still here, even when he isn't. And that person that would argue that would be me.
Yes, it would.
And I'll hold
that's
to
all
it.
I'm doing. I'm trying
now,
to contribute
listen,
to the show.
Listen, I'm not going to say it's the names of the
show. A show is a lie. Yeah, don't say
that. I won't,
the
but
show
listen.
The show is a live entity.
I want to let the listeners know. I'm not nitpicking at Jesse on this because he's not saying to Chris and Tyler, do you want to talk to Chris Bryant? Should I put on Anthony Rizzo?
It's more like,
hey, I just talked to the guy that sold Rizzo shoelaces 2 weeks ago. Do you want me to book him? Hey, I've got a guy who served ice cream to Christian Yelich 13 years ago. I can get him on right now.
A little guesty, Jess. A little guesty.
That's not the show we're doing.
A little exaggeration. What I'm doing for the listeners is as we talk about these things organically, names pop into my head. Maybe this person would be good for this topic. So that's where my mind is going during the commercial breaks. A show is a living entity. It's moving in this direction, then that direction. And maybe you want to get someone on to contribute. That's what's going on. I don't have to explain it to you, Danny.
Yeah, like all of a sudden we're talking to Eduardo Perez and Tyler says in my ear, hey, Jesse likes the Perez theme. How about Rosie Perez? I'm like, what? What is Jesse doing?
And let's, again, for the record, all of what you're saying is an exaggeration, but it's not that far off. It's not far off at all.
All right, let's talk a little college football, Jess. All right, yesterday, the Big Ten announced that they're going to go to a conference-only season for all sports, fall sports, which obviously includes football. The Big Ten is the first of the Power Five conferences to make this type of major change. Now we'll see if other conferences fall in line. The SEC might do it. Who knows? I don't believe the Big 12 is going to do it because they're standing pat to we're playing our games. Do you believe in your heart that they are actually going to play a conference-only schedule in the Power Five conferences? Or do you believe we are not going to see college football at all in 2020?
Well, if they play, they're definitely going to play conference-only. I was told a while ago, I don't know how I got on this subject. Maybe I was prepping for a show. But I was told by someone on the inside that to make their money, and that's all what this is all about, right? To make their money, it's all about the conference schedule. And then I went ahead and looked at the non-conference schedule once they made this announcement yesterday, and now I understand why they make their money in conference only. Nobody plays anybody in non-conference anymore. What happened to the old days? Notre Dame versus Purdue, Notre Dame versus Michigan. There's a couple, okay? Ohio State at Oregon, okay, fine, but still Oregon. Notre Dame hosts Wisconsin. That, to me, is the only marquee non-conference Big Ten game I would care about. I went through the whole list here, and none of them are interesting. So they only make their money in conference, and now I understand why, because the schedule out of conference is so bad. As far as if they're going to play at all, Danny, man, I don't know. I guess not. I guess not, because every week, we see something happen that leads towards not playing. Today or yesterday, it was conference only, right? The other day, it was Ivy League playing football maybe in the spring. Like every day, every week, we see something that is bad news or hear something that is bad news for college sports come this fall. So my gut says we're not going to see it at all.
The marquee non-conference matchup that the Big Ten's going to lose, they're pretty good games. Michigan had a road game at Washington on September 5th. Ohio State had a trip to Oregon on September 12th. Michigan State had a home game against Miami on September 26th. And Wisconsin's contest, like you said, against Notre Dame at Lambeau Field on October 3rd. Here's why those non-conference schedules are a big deal. They're not a big deal to the power schools. But for instance, a few years ago, remember, was it Appalachian State, Chris, that went into Michigan and beat them? Appalachian State got a check from Michigan for playing that game that was so big that it funded their sports for the rest of the year. So the non-conference games, when they're being canceled, they don't necessarily affect Penn State. They're not going to affect Michigan. They're going to affect the small schools that Michigan invites in to tune up against that now are just financially are going to be in a crisis after not being able to play these games.
Yeah, it's interesting what's going on here, right? I mean, are we slowly but surely going towards another sports shutdown? Is that where we're headed? Everyone's crossing their fingers in baseball to play these games. Now we're going conference only. So, I don't have Notre Dame's schedule up here, but Notre Dame's not in the Big Ten. But is Notre Dame and USC going to play this year? I mean, I don't. I don't know where we're going, but it doesn't feel good, does it? It just doesn't feel good.
I don't personally think that you can play college sports, and I know this debate's been out there, but my opinion on it is I don't think you can play college sports if you don't have students in the classroom. It just doesn't seem right to me to say to these 18, 19, 20-year-old kids, hey, you come to campus, you practice against each other, you put yourselves at risk to earn us millions upon millions upon millions of dollars in this billion-dollar industry. The rest of the students who are actually trying to better themselves for the future, you guys have to stay home because it's just not safe for you.
I know we have to break in a minute. Can I give you a little bit of news? I mean, I was talking about how baseball was finding its rhythm a little bit.
Wait, do I need
now
to find the breaking news sounder?
No, you don't have to do that. So we just got a text regarding the Cubs schedule. Luckily, their big thing today was a scrimmage this evening, right? But their workouts or schedule, I guess, in general, has been pushed back as they await their test results from Tuesday. So it doesn't sound like it's a major change, but it is a change. They just sent out the schedule. It is a change. So, again, we're not seeing things run as smoothly as possible. If their bulk of their work was going to be done, let's say, at noon today, there's no doubt their whole schedule would be changed, it sounds like. So
but
they're
is
waiting
it-
their...
Isn't that, isn't this the second time this week they've had to push back a practice because they haven't gotten their results?
Yeah. It sounds like players won't come in until the end of the day. Their scrimmage is going to be tonight at 6:30. So whatever was supposed to happen at 1 o'clock, because there's players coming in and out all day. Whatever is supposed to happen earlier in the day is not happening, it sounds like, as they await their test results from Tuesday. Remember, they took tests yesterday, which are supposed to come back tomorrow because it's every other day. So maybe this thing isn't as smooth as it needs to be. But fortunately, the bulk of their work was going to be in the evening in the first place. So assuming those tests come back, they'll still get their scrimmage in tonight. But already a change.
Shouldn't they just schedule it all for the evening anyways? It's 90 degrees every day this week. It's going to be almost 100 degrees next week. We'll talk to Tracy Butler at 10:50 about that. But also, to just do away with the moving it back, shouldn't they just schedule all their practices for night to be safe?
I suppose, and most of them are. But like to institute social distancing, they have players come in throughout the day so that not everybody's there at once. Like when they have a scrimmage, only the participants in that scrimmage. They don't have the whole pitching staff there. Only the guys are going to pitch, and even among the hitters, there may not be every hitter involved in the scrimmage. So that's the point. Guys come in earlier to get their work done, and then the scrimmage begins later. They've been doing that, but obviously, it sounds like whatever was going to happen earlier is not going to happen. That's whether from this updated schedule. So again, they're still waiting for Tuesday's results while yesterday's tests are being analyzed, hopefully.
Jesse Rogers did a deep dive into the world of spitting. That's next.